this morning. Let me tell you, the promises of God are yes and amen in him. He's not a man that he should lie. All of his promises, no matter what they are, they're yea, not nay. Can you say amen? Amen. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus, again for the honor and the privilege to stand among this people, unique, they carved out of the earth to bring you glory. Thank you, Lord, for the endeavors in the spirit realm that have fostered this form of truth, this arena of faith, into which we stand and step into and speak the word of God without reservation, knowing it shall be received of the people of God based upon their commitment to you. So we thank you for that in advance. And we thank you, Lord, that you folded us in, as it were, to this family. And we become part and parcel to the plan of God. It's not false humility. It's just to know that you saw fit to network in yesteryear. Before the foundations of the world, you knew that we'd be working together as fellow laborers together with Christ. For that we give you the glory, and the honor, in the glorious name of the Lord Jesus. Our great heavenly Father, stretch forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders be granted amongst us. In the marvelous and glorious name of Yeshua, Yahshua, Jehovah Adonai Emmanuel, that glorious name that's above every name, at whose name every knee should bow of things of heaven and things of earth and under the earth and things in the earth. And I thank you, Lord, tonight to say we are standing in that place of receptivity. You and you alone will be glorified as you hide your servant behind the cross of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the 8th chapter of Romans. I endeavor to, and I always do, have the mind of Christ, to have the mind of Christ in what we minister. And sometimes that deviates and changes by the time I get up here. Didn't today. And so I'm convinced, persuaded that we're in the flow that we need to be. And matter of fact, it's been confirmed already, somewhat by the praise team, somewhat by the exhortation of pastor. Not that we look for that, but the Lord has a way of rewarding us in our obedience, you see. All right, Romans chapter 8. We're going to take a very simple subject, and I believe help ourselves to some degree to realize who we are in Christ. I think many times we falter at that to a great degree. And by so doing, we don't get enough of the victory trots that we need to get done in the earth. And I believe that the Lord has great pleasure in us seeing who we are in him. I mean, great pleasure. And, matter of fact, I went up this morning to have some refreshments at the hotel. And the Lord spoke one word to me that it had no relevance whatsoever as I saw it until it fit right here. And we'll get to that hopefully before the end of this part of the service anyway. Anyway, Romans chapter 8. We'll look here. How do we do that? Let's begin. You can't begin there. Well, let's just start at verse number 3, just jump in. But what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I mean, that's why I don't want to back up, Lord, because we're going to stop everywhere we back up to. Amen. Let's just take a look at that. For what the law could not do. If you go to the 7th chapter, verses 12 and 14 and 15, you'll find that the law is good. The law is spiritual. Law, not a problem with the law. The law is spiritual. Paul says, I'm carnal. And so there's no problem with the law. The law is perfect. But the Bible says, for what the law could not do, in that it, the law, was weak. Weak, the law means God all-powerful, all-omniscient, God all-knowing God. How could anything that he does put in place be weak? Well, you keep on reading. It was weak through the application to the flesh. In its application to the flesh, the law had a weakness because it can't apply to flesh. Man, we can have. In the 3rd chapter of Romans, verse number 20, he said the law doesn't justify any flesh. So we know the law can't do some things. For what the law could not do in that it was weak in its application through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. In other words, as a sin offering. He condemned sin while in the flesh. Oh, Lord. We can stop right there and meddle for a while. Amen. I said he condemned sin while he was in the flesh. Meaning then, his very presence and essence on the earth for 33 and a half years testified to the fact that humans can live without sin. Only one human did it, but that proves that humans can live without sin. Can you say amen? Now, we can't stop there, Lord. We preach all night long just on that. And verse number 4, so that the righteousness of the law, again, see, the law is not a problem. The law is righteous. Might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh. Really, the best way to understand it, that which emanates from the flesh. Whatever behaviors that are seen in us that comes from fleshly thinking, from fleshly behavior. They that are in the flesh. Do mind or give attention to the things of the flesh. Now, he goes on to say here, but they that are after the Spirit, all right, that's what emanates from the Spirit. So if it's after the flesh, after the Spirit, that emanates from the Spirit. What happens to them? They give attention to the things of the Spirit. What will that produce? Well, just keep on reading. He says, for they that are after the flesh do mind things of the flesh, after the Spirit, things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, and we can... This is the only time this phrase is used in its fullness. And I won't go into great detail, but it's the only time it's used. Carnally minded. Because we're talking about the things that we focus on as best we can see here. That which you give your attention to is what's going to be produced. He goes on to say, those that are carnally minded do what? Do mind the things of the flesh. Well, I'm talking about. No, I'm sorry. For those to be carnally minded... For to be carnally minded is what? Death. So we know then that fleshly thinking produces things that are not life. And let's take a little ride over here to Colossians chapter 2. From Colossians chapter 2, just for a minute. We'll see this in its fullness and come back and settle down, whatever that means. Amen? Chapter 2 of Colossians. Very early on, back in the 80s, matter of fact, right in 80, 81, my life was turned over to the Lord. And I began to feast on the 8th chapter of Romans, which spread out into every area of the Bible. But I landed over here in this book of Colossians because I saw something in the 18th verse that changed my life. Verse number 18. Let no man beguile you, trick you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, watch this, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So then, when we stay there, go to Colossians chapter 1. Oh, Lord. Let's look at verse number 21. These were fundamental in my Christian growth. And you that were sometimes alienated, or we could say an alienation to God. You that were alienated and enemies in your spirits. In your what? Enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So we were an enemy of God basically because of our thinking carnally that produced death. Are you getting that? I didn't say that. The Bible said that. Now back up, if you will, to where we were in Romans chapter number 8. He says here, the product of carnal thinking is death. But to be, watch this, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Is a Zoe and Irene. Zoe is the highest blessedness of the creature. You can't get any better living than being Zoe'd. The highest way you can live is to be blessed of the Lord with the God kind of life. You can't live any better than that. The richest man in the world lives below your level of living if you got Zoe. The multi-billionaire is poor spiritually, and you are rich spiritually with the Zoe life. Can I get a Pentecostal wave on that one? Amen. In other words, you've got something that money can't buy. And if you have it, really, you know it. And what is this thing called peace? We went over that. You know, he's the Prince of Peace. And we had that time of year where we're celebrating the Prince of Peace coming. Well, yes, but here's what peace is. In essence, a zone of untroubled and undisturbed well-being. That's what peace is. A zone of untroubled and undisturbed well-being. And that's indicative of a person who's walking in peace. I may as well stay here, Lord. You can be a Christian and have the ability to walk in peace and not do it. We have found that out, have we not? We could have a disturbed, troubled life going on, predicated upon circumstances and individual things that have happened. People, things, situation can, if we allow it, to let us not express the peace that we actually have through the new birth. You've got peace. But you don't have to walk in the peace that you have. See, many of you know, as I found out, being a Christian from 16 years old on until 34, I can't remember a stable period of just peaceness. I can't remember a stable period of, to say, righteousness. I had no idea I was righteous. That'll hit you smack between the eyes in a minute. Amen. In other words, you do some introspection, you didn't think you were righteous either. And maybe to some degree, some think right now you're not righteous and you're a Christian. But you are. I said, but you are. And we need to see ourselves the way heaven sees us. It's a heavenly perspective that produces tranquility and a state of undisturbed well-being. I may as well stay here. So, if there are indicators of peace, they're indicators of lack of peace. And you say amen. You can say, well, we can see some outward disturbances of a person, you know, not walking in peace. You know, they're always fretting and things are going on in their life. And they're not walking. Well, but there's some subtle signs of peace also, or lack of peace. And one of the primary indicators of a lack of peace is a lack of sleep. I'm going to say it again, because you thought we were going to go real deep and spiritual. Amen. No, a primary indicator of a lack of peace is a lack of ability to sleep. I'm going to tell you right now, I've got from firsthand experience a peaceful woman. As evidenced by last evening. She said, what is that? What are they talking about on something on TV? I said, well, so and so and so. And that's Then she, I mean, a millisecond ago, she asked me a question. The next thing I heard was calling. That's a peaceful woman. I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, and you'd have guard duty, and guard duty is all night. You know, you walk in, and you got to be sure any little thing, you got to be aware of it and a whole bit. And you'd have a break though, a 1 hour break. I remember having a guy come out to relieve me for 1 hour. I leaned right up against a tree, stood right there. And Nathan said, "No." He said, "You slept standing up." If a horse can do it, I can do it. Amen. I can sleep. The brother's got peace. If you can't sleep, there's a lack of peace. His name was Lucky, and he wasn't lucky at all. Luciano, Spanish brother I was working with in probation in Los Angeles. He'd come into work. We had to be on post at 6 o'clock. And, you know, he was on my shift, not always. And if I was the officer of the day, I'd be on another shift. He wouldn't be on my shift. The guys on my shift would cut him some slack. And, he would just get there 3 minutes after 6, 5 minutes after 6, never on time. So I said, "Lucky, what's happening?" He said, "I just like to watch movies all night." He said, "I just watch it." I said, "No, you are having trouble. If you stay up to watch something that's not even interesting, trying to pry your eyes open just to see it, it's not about watching the movie, if you can't sleep. Why can't you sleep? Because you don't have peace." Sure got quiet in this Presbyterian church all of a sudden, didn't it? Listen to me. Introspection is good. Look inside. What's troubling me here? Because you're supposed to be able to sleep. Oh, go to Isaiah 26. Now, there's some people who can operate just on a few hours of sleep. And I've had to do that over the years. But when I get a chance to catch up, I'm gone. Innocence meets up with, "I only need 3 hours." No, I had to use 3 hours. I slept 4 hours a night when I was going to college with my family. I had to be with my family. I was going to sit up with them. I was going to eat with them. And after they went to bed, I would study and I'd go to work. I had 4 hours for two years, 4 hours a night. I operated fine on it. But when I got a chance to, glory to God, get a few more of them hours, I got them. I don't have any problem with sleeping 8 hours if I can. Sometimes I can't because I'm just too busy. But, if I can, I'll catch up on it. Isaiah 26, verse number 3. Here you go. Where am I? 25, 26, 3. There it is. "That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in the Lord." I don't care what the circumstance is. If my trust is in the arm of flesh, I'm going to be fretful. I'm going to be fidgety. I'm going to try and figure it out. I'm going to walk the floor and pace the floor. But if I trust in him, I'm going to sleep. Can you say amen here? Because that's where I know my trust has to be. If I'm sleeping through it all, glory to God, I wake up. Nothing has changed, but I got me a good night's sleep. Stay up all night long, you ain't changing nothing. But your next day being miserable. Can you say amen? So then, an indicator of peace is the ability to sleep. What's that psalm you use? Psalms 4:8, Psalm 8 something. Huh? Both lead me down to Psalms what? 8? Yeah, what is that? 8? No, it's not 2 something.
4.
Psalm 4? We'll get it.
Do you want 3 and 5?
I want what you got. Both lay me down. Huh? 4 and 8. Psalms 4, and 8. Evelyn quotes this from time to time, and boy, it just blesses me every time I hear it, and I just need to be sure. Psalms 4, look at this, verse number 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Listen, you are covered by a covenant. And the beauty of that covenant is simply this. I trust in the Lord. I can't manufacture safety. I can do some things and take precautions, but safety is of the Lord. Can you say amen here? Listen, we have been in perilous times in 30-some years in the ministry. We were en route from Louisiana from Texas back to Oklahoma some years ago. And I'm telling you, it wasn't even foggy. It was a nice night. And Evelyn said to me, oh, let me drive. Because she'll tell you, I'll drive 99% of the time. She said, let me drive. I said, well, go on, drive, you know. So I get out. It's about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. She gets in and immediately begins to pray in the Holy Ghost. She said, no, I said, just drive. And I went out because I'm peaceful. I'm gone. Tired and peaceful. Amen. And I heard the screech. And I got up and there was like a haze. I thought, we've been raptured or what? There was just a haze. Just nothing. I'm thinking. And she was over the wheel like this. And I looked up and it began to settle. And it was an 18-wheeler tractor trailer on the side with the sides ripped out of it. Debris all over the road. Another tractor trailer, the tractor's in the ditch. And I jumped out of the car, and it's cold, and I'm going to hear this moan, this soft moan. And there was a lady in the causeway there, part of it. It's a 4-lane highway. She's on. I walked down in there, and there was a man that was dead. He was the driver in that truck. One had pulled over. You see when these trucks pull over, and others are, you know why they do that? Because it's safe to pull over when another vehicle is parked. Evidently, he didn't, and he hit and like a ribbon, went right through and cut that other vehicle, and that guy was thrown out there on the ground dead. But she said, when I got in the car, got under the wheel, I got sense I need to pray in the Spirit. I'm telling you, that is one of the most fundamental ways a Christian walks through life. Your prayer time is not at the altar, at the church, or even in your home. Your prayer time is a continuous state of being. And then you sense the urge to pray, pray. And pray primarily in the Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. So safety is of the Lord. Oh, man, we can stay here. Our most recent itinerary, sharing this with Brother Adrian yesterday, we were in Erie, Pennsylvania. Beautiful, sunny, 60 degrees. One day after we leave there, one of them northern easterns or whatever they'll call lake effect stupidity come in there. Amen? I mean, snow and lake, snow and, I mean, 24 inches of snow. I'm thinking, thank God we went to Syracuse. So we're in Syracuse. Glory to God. 60 degrees, wonderful day. We get out of there a day later. That same stupid northeasterner came over there. We got a lot, went to Chicago. Hallelujah. It's safe over here, glory in Chicago. On the way out of Chicago, another one came from the west. Now you might say, well, that's not safe. Well, no, because them folk can handle that stuff. Amen. I'm born in Louisiana. Y'all can have that mess. Amen. So you don't know how to drive. Don't want to learn how to drive on that stuff. No, my safety is 60 degrees. Glory to God. Can say amen. No, safety is of a covenant that you have with your God, and peace is a part of that covenant. Somebody shout amen here. Amen. Well, then he says, he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. So you got the Zoe life and you got peace. But how do we access, walk in the power of this blessedness? Well, how do we get it? You act in character. What is that? You are not a natural man or woman. You got to understand you have a supernatural life because you got a supernatural God on the inside of you. And when you become cognizant, aware of who is in you, then you will act in character. Can you say amen here? Well, you say, well, brother, yeah, I'm a Christian. I love God. No, you're missing it. I'm saying you cannot continue to think naturally when you got a supernatural ability to think. Can you say amen? Go to 1 Corinthians, if you will, chapter number 3 for a minute. This put me on track many, many years ago because we've got another place to visit, Lord. We've got a tendency, as it were. Where did I go? Where did I say go? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We got a tendency to divert to our skill set to manage our lives. Because, you know, I don't do things that way. When you say I don't do that way, you mean my way, whatever it is better. And that, you know, the same situation that other people can be in, you see it differently and you react to it differently and you do things about it differently. And you pretty much come to the conclusion this is better than their method, whatever their method might be. And it may be, but it's still a natural way of thinking. God does not want you to enter that gate of carnal thinking. That's natural thinking. He wants you to do it in two ways. I'll tell you the second word the Lord spoke to me this morning. We're going to get with this one right now. Look at verse number, what did I say? 1 Corinthians 3. I'm there. I'm somewhere there. 7. 1 Corinthians 3. Look at this. Let's begin at verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto pneumaticos, as unto spiritual. Now, think about this. I want to, but I can't. I desire to, but I can't. Why? He says here, but as unto carnal, I can speak unto you as natural, but I want to speak unto you as spiritual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My desire is to do that. Something is preventing that. What's preventing that? Even as unto babes or beginners in Christ. I personally, Paul, not somebody else, have fed you with milk. 1 Peter 2:2 says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We need milk. But this many years later or months later, you should not still be on the problem of the word of God. Can you say amen here? I have fed you with milk and not meat, for hitherto or unto this time, you were not able to bear it, neither are you able to now. Look at the next verse. For ye are carnal, we can say natural, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, indications of carnality. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
He goes on to say, are you not, rhetorical question, are you not carnal? I want this last phrase I want to get. And walk as men. What does that mean? The best translation of that is walk as mere men.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to walk like mere men.
Mm-hmm.
I want to speak to you as unto spiritual, but I can't. Because you're walking like just every ordinary man. A mere man. You are not mere men if you are born again and particularly filled with the Holy Ghost. You got the propensity or the ability to be led by the Spirit of God in your spirit. You've been designed, well, I may as well stay here. You've been designed to live a supernatural life. Every believer has been designed by the new birth and the love of God to live above the natural conditions of life. Yet we've been trained all of our lives to revert back to our natural way of handling things. Logic and reasoning, and we add it all up and deduce so and so and so. But the spirit of man, where the spirit of God dwells, doesn't go to those deductions. Amen? He's led into that field of blessing by the spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
And his decisions are based upon that. So, how do you know you've made a good decision? peace. Oh, Lord. Peace accompanies every right decision. If you're wondering about it later on, it may or may not work out for you, but it wasn't necessarily a godly decision. Oh, my. 1 Corinthians, we're there. I think it's 10. I'm way off, and I'm glad. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. We got two instances here that'll show this. Come on, where is it? That's 11. That's why I can't find it. 10. Oh, come on. It's got to be here. Well, there it is. I had it backwards. I had 2 and 3 and 3 and 2. Look at verse number 23. 1 Corinthians, justification itself, you can justify a decision that doesn't make it right. Look at what Paul says here. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. You can do something that's right in the sight of the natural law and be within the parameters of legality and not be expedient for you. Can you say amen? Amen. That is not a godly decision because you're lawful. That doesn't justify the decision because you're within the law. If it's not expedient, if it doesn't advance you in the kingdom or advance the kingdom itself, it's not expedient. Are you getting that?
Yeah.
He goes on to say here, all things are lawful for me, but all things don't edify or edify not. You can do things that are nobody can have an issue with. But if it doesn't edify, I don't need it. Can you say amen here? I'm talking about peace in your decision making. Now, how do we get past this natural, this carnal life? Colossians chapter number 3. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter number 3. And this is going to be the first of the two words that I got from the Lord. One I got just this morning. I've had this for quite a while. Colossians chapter 3. Paul tells us in verse number 1. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ. According to Romans 6, you've been risen with him. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Here we go. And set your affections. Oh, Lord. You put your affections, your passions and your desires and your emotions, you direct them. You set them on things above. And simultaneously, you're not setting them on things on the earth. By definition, well, you know, let's deal with some of these things that come and creep into the body of Christ, becomes proverbs, have no spiritual foundation whatsoever. Here's one of them. Well, don't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good, brother. You ever heard that? Sounds good, doesn't it? It's a lie from the pits of hell. Amen? The Bible says, put your affections on things above. Yeah, be spiritually minded. We just got the scripture in 8 of Romans that tells us to be spiritually minded. So somebody to tell me, don't be so spiritually minded that you no earthly good. No, I become more earthly good because I am spiritually minded. Because the overflow of my life is because I've been thinking of things above and they manifest on the earth. Man. People have been coming down here. How many years have we been doing Cornelia? What's this year going to be? What? Coming up? What? 15? For 15 years. We were recently with Pastor Tim Horton. Some of you met him. This was his second year. I've never seen anybody, and all have been, moved by Koinonia. I've never seen anybody more moved by Koinonia than this man, Tim Horton. He sat down in his very
fundamental way of describing it, not with a lot of exuberance, of what it meant to him the first time he came and what it means to him to look forward to coming again. He's just, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I understand that. Then he asks the question rhetorically, how can they do that? Well, we can go into all kinds of explanations about how it's done. I did a breakdown one time because Pastor Jesse showed us just what it costs per person to put that on. Staggering. I said staggering. But then I know from being here so much how it gets done. Not because you're thinking about earthly things. And listen to me. Paul told Timothy, he said, look here, boy. He says, I know your grandmother had faith. I know your mama had faith. And now I see it in you. That's three generations of faith. Can you say amen? Amen. Stuff gets passed on in the spirit realm much more than it does in the natural realm, gene pool. Are you listening to me? And so we sat yesterday, and the more I come down, the more I hear. We sat yesterday and heard about Grandpa building a boat for somebody, and you called it a freebie, didn't you? Because you just let it go. We heard about Grandpa, are you getting this? Literally putting a motor off his boat on another man's boat that he can go out, and yet Grandpa couldn't go out, didn't he? So why is it any wonder then, hallelujah, that it has passed on to this generation? Yeah. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Why is it any wonder then that a young boy, in essence, said the Lord told me to pastor, and a father says that that's what the Lord says, son, let's do it. Mm-hmm. Somebody shout amen here. Amen. Why is it any wonder then that same young boy has the spirit of giving that his grandpa had, that his father had? Somebody shout amen here. It's a spiritual issue. It's passed on. Doesn't just happen. Can you say amen here? Well, thank God I'm a benefactor of it. Amen. I get to bask in glory to God. If it flies, it dies. Hallelujah. Right down here, some duck's going to die in January when I come back. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody shout glory. I've tried to pay these people for stuff. I've snuck it in, you know. What is that? That's grandpa's spirit. That's daddy's spirit. That's mama's spirit. Are you listening to me? Pass it on. The greatest thing you can pass on to your heritage behind you is spiritual mass. Amen. Thank God for the money you can leave them. Thank God for the homes we bought. Homes, we think, glory to God, our kids are going to be, our kids going to be. Yeah, but I'm more concerned about spirit passing on that spiritual stuff. Yeah. Somebody shout amen. Amen. How you set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Now, here's that next word. Set. Everybody say set.
Set.
Now say let.
Let.
Go to Philippians chapter number 2. Woo. Set and let. Amen. What am I going to let here? Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What do you mean by that? Just that, permit, suffer, and allow.
Yes.
What? This mind. When Paul says, be you spiritually minded, he doesn't think your own mind. He just talked about that's carnal mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, how do you let that? You permit, you allow. Well, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians 2. We'll get over into this next part tonight, but I just want to hit these high points. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 16. When you get there, shout amen. Now, he says, for the natural man, everybody said natural. No. That's number 14. I want to look at verse number 16. I'm on verse number. You have the mind of Christ. Who has known the mind? Where am I? That's 2 Corinthians. I can't do that. I got to go to this verse. who rewrote my Bible? There it is. Plain as day and nose on my face. Look at verse number 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? We can basically say nobody has. Nobody had, put it that way. Nobody had. He talked about Moses this morning. Everything to this point of new covenant was basically a shadow, a type. But when the antitype or the real has come, there's no longer a need for the type. Are you listening to me? Amen. The mind of Christ was not even, David didn't have the mind of Christ. Joshua didn't have the mind of Christ. But Joshua got today. Amen. Well, how do we have the mind of Christ? Because you're born again. You don't get it. You don't strive for it. You have the mind of Christ. Oh, Lord. Remember that saying years ago on the capsule? WWJD, what would Jesus do? Remember that? Sound real spiritual. That was as carnal as a meatball rolling down the street. Amen? That's absolute carnality. What would the Lord do? If you got to stop and ask what Jesus would do in a situation, you don't know. I said, you don't know. And you can't act out of it. Listen, and you need not at the spur of the moment stop and figure it out. The Spirit-led life is a fountain that pours out of you per need situation. Act in character, be led of the Holy Ghost against your carnal thinking, the natural way you would do it. Guess what? You are being led of the Spirit of God and you have the mind of Christ. We defer, so we permit the mind of Christ to operate per design. Letting the mind of Christ is my responsibility. I have the mind of Christ. I don't have to let it operate. And I forget. I've got a Jeep Cherokee Limited. It's a great car. I put the fuel pump went out, and then I put a fuel pump in. I still can't get it started because some kind of code going on there. I got to take it back to Jeep. But I remember, it's got all-wheel, four-wheel drive. And I remember never having to use that four-wheel drive, even when I was driving up into the north, and where the folk know how they have winter up there, you know what I mean? I was driving up there years ago, and just kind of just went along. But I was fishing on the river one day, the Arkansas River in Tulsa. And I came around this particular corner, and all of a sudden, the bottom dropped out of the road. It was mud. It was boom, boom, boom. And that little handle there, I never pulled it, never used it for anything. And all of a sudden, I realize you're not getting out of here unless you put it in go ahead. Amen? Mm-hmm. And guess what? All the years I had that vehicle, I never used what was built to do. But one day I needed it. Yeah. And when I needed it, I didn't think about, man, I'm stuck here. What am I going to do? The answer was right there. And I reached out and got him up out of there. And I thought, that sure felt good. Now, I got that vehicle from my son, and he would go four-wheel driving all the time. That's all he ever did in it. But I never did. So you can have something inherently in your possession and not use it. That's the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You have to be sure that you elect him to use what you already possess. Can you say amen here? Amen. So now, my passions have to be submitted to the mind of Christ. It could be legal and lawful, but if it bumps against, scratches on my spirit, I can't do it. Because it's not expedient. Oh, you listen to me? It's not, oh man, that's another one. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I think it is. Oh, Lord, we're winding down. We're about out of here. Winding down is a relative term. It takes a while to wind down. Amen? But we're on that winding down stage. Look at verse number 12. Oh, yeah. All things are lawful unto me. Same book, same writer, Same context, same spirit. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Look at what he says of this one. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I'm not going to let anything dominate me. If it doesn't produce kingdom stuff, I am not going to participate, even though I can lawfully and legally. How do we, you know what you're doing then? You're implementing the mind of Christ. Good. At that very moment, you're thinking, nothing wrong with that, but there's a scratch in your spirit. If you got to force it, don't do it. If it doesn't come naturally, and now watch this. Remember Paul says to the Romans, don't let anybody speak evil of your good? Or is that what you permit? We can take liberty with that. Yeah. But your permission is not because it's legal, it's because you're free on the inside to do it. But if you're not free on the inside to do it, even though it's legal, don't. Yeah. I'm talking about the mind of Christ. Yeah. I'm talking about be ye spiritually minded. For the carnal mind is death. But the spiritual mind produces Zoe and Irene, or Zoe, life and peace. Untroubled, undisturbed sense of well-being. That's what I want every day. I want it 24/7. Somebody shout amen here. I don't have to go and try to manufacture it. It's already on the inside. It's right in there. I got to tap into that spirit man and allow my whole life to be dictated by the flow of my spirit, by the flow of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Why? Because I want to produce that which is of a heavenly content. See, because how do we let heaven come to earth? How we sing, you know what? The beauty of being vertical in praise and worship is all heavenly stuff. So I take it that you wrote that song that we were singing That last song, you wrote that song? Well, where does that come from? It doesn't come from, let's see. I think I write a song. And give me, this bar will be, let me see if I get that bar, and I'll make this melody. That comes out of your belly. That comes out of life. That comes out of living God. Are you listening to me? That's the overflow of a supernatural life.
Hallelujah.
You've been designed. I want you to take this to, we haven't even got scratched the surface. Take this to heart. You are not mere men. Heaven doesn't see you as mere men. You are a supernatural person with supernatural ability. And you're thinking, I know so and so. Ain't no much supernatural. I'm talking about you. Keep it in your tent, your tabernacle. Look at you and see yourself the way heaven sees you. And all of a sudden you change your perspective on life. Amen. Because if you do things just because they're within your ability and logic to do, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We've all been there, have we not? See, only three hands went up. Glory to God. I want the rest of you to get up here. I'm going to cast a lying demon out of every one of you. Amen. No, we've all been there. I said we've all been there. We've all done it. It seems a logical thing to do. Nothing wrong with it. It's lawful. It's legal. And it's nice. And it's good. And it's wrong. But yet we had an indication on the inside, and we overrode it. Have you been there? Well, let's not do that any longer. Let's pay attention to that quiet, still voice. That's the mind of Christ leading your life. Be ye spiritually minded. Can you say amen? Amen? Let's stand. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of Jesus for the simplicity, yet the potency of the word. We have not devised cunning things and tried to lay out some 3-point sermon. What we've done is reflect by your word our status. You see us as not mere men. And you desire to speak to us, as Paul says, as unto spiritual, not unto carnal. I thank you, Lord, we're growing from the babe stage. Yeah. that we can be heard of you and you can be heard of us. And our thinking will line up with the mind of Christ which we possess. For that we give you glory and honor and praise in the glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.